sweet, then we fall at Satan's feet. We listen and we're beguiled, but oh, the fire went wild. We cried out, Jesus, save us from the fire. He reached down, 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 and he pulled us up higher, and his blood put out the ring of fire, the ring of fire. We cried out, Jesus, save us from the fire. He went down, 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 and he pulled us up higher, and his blood put out the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it no longer burns, that ring of fire, that ring of fire, that ring of fire, that ring of fire.
Seven times 70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday night, May 16th. There, we got the music down. 2024. I want to thank you for joining us. Have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. Be glad to take your call. Got, oh, a couple things I want to talk to you about. Oh, the bird flu is popping its head back up, and did you hear what Congress passed on May 2nd? It's been a couple weeks now. I haven't seen much on it, but they passed it. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer. I certainly find that when I start my day with prayer, my day goes better than if I forget or if I don't finish my morning prayers. And I got them done this morning, and that was good. Didn't seem to get through them all yesterday, but I did today, and I know that my day just goes better when I make my request known to God, and I praise and thank Him for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And, you know, that has all but been forgotten, it seems like, for so many in this nation. And we see the results of that in our society every day with the crime, the lawlessness, the greed, the invasion, the economy crashing, is just everything around us. But our God is still on the throne, and He still hears His children, His people, when they cry out to Him, when they pray to Him. Let us never forget that. Well, let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, we do thank You. Thank You, first and foremost, for going to the cross for us, Lord, for while we were yet sinners, while we were the adversary to You, Lord, that You went to the cross to die for us, to save us from our sins, from our sicknesses. Lord, You knew what was best for us and what we needed, and You determined to do that, and You did it. And we thank You for that. Lord, I pray in humility, thanking You, Lord, for Your many blessings You've bestowed upon us. And Lord, I pray for the remnant, Lord, the ones that have had their eyes open and the ones that haven't yet. I pray for a revival in the land, Lord, of repentance, a moving of the Holy Spirit. For, Lord, it is that leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said that He would send after He left, that guides us and directs us and brings us to You. And I pray for that, Lord, to roll across this nation before it's too late. Lord, to permeate and to to get into every heart, every mind, Lord, and to wake them up. Awake, awake, O America. Awake, awake, O Zion, as your word says, and clothe yourselves in your beautiful garments. And Lord Jesus, we know that you are those beautiful garments. So that is our prayer, Lord. That is my prayer, that this nation awake before it's too late. Awake to the reason that all these things have come upon us, and that is because of our sin, and because you keep your word, and you've given us your word, and it's there for us to read and to understand and to choose to obey and believe. I pray your blessings on the broadcast tonight. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, Remnant, again, spring is in the air. It has been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. I think we hit 67 degrees. Blue skies, the grass is green, and it's just beautiful springtime weather. I want to remind you again, the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. Be glad to take your call. Congress passed a bill May 2nd. You know, it's kind of hard for Congress, the House and the Senate, to get together and agree on anything these days. But on May 2nd, they passed what is called the Anti-Semitic Awareness Act. It's a bill that criminalizes any criticism of the Israeli state or of Zionism, is basically what it does. And so it would basically criminalize, outlaw, Bible passages such as Acts 4:10, which state that the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, we know we're seeing things like this. Didn't print it out. I saw the judge sentenced an anti-abortion protester, a pro-lifer, to 5 years in prison for blocking access to an abortion clinic. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't burn any buildings down, didn't shoot anybody, didn't run over anybody with their car, didn't pass out tainted drugs. Just blocked access, and that got him 5 years. And so we see these things that are happening. Meanwhile, universities are taking over. We saw back in, 2020, just the summer of rioting and burning. Cities burned, and nothing comes of that. So we will see what happens. You know, as for me and my house, and I can tell you as for me in this ministry, we will stick with the truth. We will stick with the Bible. And people can interpret it the way they want, but we're going to stick with the Word of God and continue to preach it, continue to put it out, to continue to stand on it regardless of laws that are passed. We've done that in the past when they've had Supreme Court rulings and different ones. And, you know, our pastor warned us many, many years ago of what would happen. And we certainly have been in a decline. We really have. The further we get away from God, the more. The Bible tells us, you know, God says, the more I prospered them, the more they turned away from me. And that's what we are living today in this nation. Well, I wanted to, a couple weeks ago I heard on the radio they were talking about the bird flu in dairy herds down in Colorado. And I think that they had confirmed that about three or four dairy herds in Colorado that had tested positive for the bird flu. And There weren't any restrictions other than they just didn't want them to leave the state. And that's kind of a state thing, you know, with any virus. And so I had mentioned to Jason, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and he had seen it and hadn't heard a whole lot, neither one of us anymore, on it. I saw this article today. I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, there's bird flu in U.S. dairy cows, but raw milk drinkers aren't deterred. And reading through it, says sales of raw milk are on the rise despite an outbreak of bird flu. USDA and they call raw milk one of the riskiest foods people can consume. Raw milk can be contaminated with harmful germs that can make you very sick, the CDC says on its website. It says, as of Monday, 42 herds in 9 states are known to have cows infected with the virus known as AH5N1. Says the virus has been found in high levels in the raw milk of infected cows. Says theoretically, this is the CDC, theoretically, people that drink raw milk could theoretically, if it's in the milk, become infected if the bird flu virus comes in contact. Maybe, it says, theoretically. I thought this quote here I thought was interesting. It says, so they've been announcing this, don't buy raw milk. Oh, it's got bird flu, it can make you sick, blah, blah, blah. And raw milk sales have never been higher. They go up and up. I saw this quote from a university food science professor. Said, anything the FDA tells our customers, well, I guess this was from a raw milk seller, this quote. It says, anything the FDA tells our customers to do, they do the opposite. How about that? They've learned. You know, when COVID-19 was ripping through the country and you had to wear masks and they were saying, don't use ivermectin or that CVQ. Oh, no, that's bad, bad, bad. And ivermectin sales went through the roof. And there were a lot of people that didn't get the COVID shot and didn't get the 14 boosters and didn't wear a mask. But I bet they leaned a little hard on the ivermectin. And they didn't get COVID. So I just think that it's interesting when it's exciting to me to see these types of quotes coming from people just kind of out and about. It says from 1998 to 2018. Now that's 20 years, okay? In 20 years, the CDC documented more than 200 illness outbreaks traced to raw milk, sickened more than 26 people, hospitalized more than 225. In 20 years. In 20 years, 200 illness outbreaks. You have more than that with a bad batch of Tylenol. Anyway, I think it just points out the hypocrisy, the lies that they put out. Oh, they safety and quality coordinator for the Center for Dairy Research says, I liken drinking raw milk to playing Russian roulette. The more times people consume it, the greater the chance they'll get sick. 200 people in 20 years, 200 illness outbreaks in 20 years. Says, despite the risk, over 4% of U.S. adults, nearly 11 million people, report that they drink raw milk at least once a year. 1% say they consume it each week. That was in 2022. So, don't believe the lies, folks. If you've got a good, if you have bad raw milk, you'll know it because it smells. We used to have a, we had a milk cow. When we moved out here from South Carolina to the Radio Ranch in 2001, we brought our milk cow with us. So I don't have a milk cow now, but I have done that in the past. And we were in South Carolina 5 years, so starting in 96 when we moved out there, we started drinking raw milk. We found a local dairy, one of the last small local dairies in South Carolina that was in our area, and convinced him to let us buy raw milk from him before the big truck came and hauled it all away. And never had a problem. Ended up buying a milk cow from him, getting a surge. It's interesting, too. We reached out through a magazine, a little, you know, like home ranch magazine type thing, for a milker, a compressor and a surge bucket and all that. And we bought it from some people that were on this ministry. And we were on this ministry at the same time, and became friends with them and thought that that was quite interesting. Small world, you know, great minds think alike and all that, we tell ourselves. But we did. We milked my son. That's 34 now. When he was 10 years old, he'd take the wagon out. We'd finish milking. He'd haul the milk in, and we'd filter it and clean it and ice it down real fast. And so don't believe these lies about raw milk. If the cow gets into stuff like onions and whatnot, you'll know it. If the milk is bad, you'll know it. You'll smell it. It'll go bad. You can tell. It's just as simple as that. You don't need the CDC or anybody else to tell you if it's bad. If it sours a little bit, guess what? Well, now you're talking about sour cream and buttermilk and being able to use it for cooking and all types of things. But see, we're so far away from that as a people. We are. It's a shame that it's that way. But you know, it's springtime. I don't want to stay on this. It's springtime. I'm seeing gardens all over. I am seeing more hoop houses and gardens than I think I've ever seen before. Maybe it's just that I'm more aware of them. I don't know. You know, it's like if you drive a red car. I don't. But if you drive a red car, you see red cars everywhere. I drive a Toyota pickup, and I see Toyota pickups everywhere. So maybe it's just an awareness thing, but gardens all over. Got a neighbor that put in a 20 by 40 last year, had a great year, and they're trying to get another one, a 40 by 60, a big hoop house. And so it's encouraging to me to see that things like that are happening, that people are waking up. FDA says don't drink raw milk. Raw milk sales go through the roof. All across the country, and that is a good thing. It's not just out here. This one report was from California, and so if you are not able to have a milk cow, if you put a little work into it, you know, Brother Paul and I were talking last night, and it takes work, it takes effort, it takes determination. It's just that way. But if you put a little work into it, you do a little research in your area, you can find some raw milk if that's what you want. You can find somebody raising chickens and eggs, local beef, and things like that. Saw another recall last week, 10,000 Walmart stores having a big meat recall. You know, you just don't get that if you do your best to stay local and do your best to use cash. Keep your cash, keep the money in the local economy. I just can't emphasize that enough. The blessings that come from that, as well as getting to know your neighbor, even if that neighbor's 20 miles away. getting to know them. And nothing wrong with being a consumer, but spend your consumer dollars wisely. I guarantee you they'll go a lot further if you're spending them with the family down the road that's got goats or chickens or cows or beef or whatever it is, and you spend your money with them, it goes a lot further than it does at the big box store as far as our economy and our people are concerned. It really does. Well, Remnant, again, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call tonight. Want to thank you for your prayers. We did get Volume 5 of the Dragon Slayer out, and praise the Lord, we're a little ahead of the curve this year, and that's good because this is the fifth month, and the fifth newsletter should be in your hands. And so there's a problem, you didn't get it, or if you'd like it emailed, we can email it to you, and I've got extras. I'd be glad to send them to you. And I think it's a pretty interesting article. It's part two, the final part of Knowing Who We Are, and kind of a summation and some articles from Pastor Peters and some scriptures that just kind of point out who we are, but also, you know, who and what our enemies do that points out the difference, the contrast between who we are and who and what our enemies do. It's interesting. We need to know who our people are, who we are. And that the Word of God is for us. It is written to us. All of the Scripture. All of it is. You know, in John, we hear Brother Zach mention it at the beginning of his messages, the explanation of who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's a summary there at the beginning of John. Well, you got to remember now, in John, the Gospel of John, there were no New Testament writings at the time. They were still living the New Testament. And so it wasn't like John had a New Testament that said, this New Testament became flesh and dwelt among us. It is much more proper to say the Old Testament became flesh and dwelt among us, because that's all the written scriptures the people had. That's the scrolls, and all that they had was the Old Testament. And so John is saying the Old Testament became flesh and dwelt among us. That is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the whole Testament, but he is the Old Testament, that Word. And it seems so obvious, but it is such a stumbling block for so many people. But as a people, for us to be saved, we must realize who we are, where we come from, and who our God really is. And you don't trust me on it. You don't have to believe me. Just go to your Bible. Go to your Bible and start reading it. And part of this, we finished out this Knowing Who We Are article is with a couple of offers, been sending them out by the droves. The Greatest Discovery of Our Age by Pastor Peters, that points out scripturally who we are, but there's been a case of mistaken identity. And see, when you restore that identity, when you realize who we are as a people and the lies that have been told, well, the events of the day, the events of the world, they start to fit. They start to roll back in place. Okay. They really do. And so, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, another great book is by E. Raymond Capp, The Abrahamic Covenant. And if you don't have that, that's a great one. Just sometimes, some evening, to sit down and just go back through and read and take a look at it. It's good to be refreshed on that. And then as well as the Roots DVD. Pastor put that together, and it does. It's roots from Abraham to America. And it is quite a story. And it is the key that unlocks the mysteries of the Bible. It really is. You know, another great article in here, I enjoyed reading it and going through it, was from the late Mrs. Mary Alice Jones, Pastor Jones' wife. And she entitled it 52 Years of Love. We found it. It's from a few years ago, but I think Jason's wife found it and looked through it. And so we put it back in here. And and you know, the testimony that they give, that that Mary Alice and Pastor Jones were older when they learned of the Anglo-Israel message. And it says, I'll read just one quick sentence or two here. She says, however, when we learned the truth, well, let me back up. She says, as we look back on our Christian life, we remember it more as a social life than a religious experience. I'm sure many of you will agree. She says, however, when we learn the truth that the Bible was written to and about the white Celto-Saxon people of the world, that they were the Israel of the Bible, God's chosen people, it completely changed our life. We devoured the Bible and read everything we could get our hands on about the subject. How about that? And then she goes on and gives a testimony that Earl had quadruple bypass surgery and his health was fully restored after that. And it was like, why? And they got the answer why was so they could teach this. And so Mary Alice gives a great testimony. I encourage you to read it. If you got your newsletter and you just kind of glanced over it, again, sit down with a cup of coffee or glass of tea or cold beer, whatever you drink when you're reading the newsletter, and read through it. And it is a great testimony. We also make mention and shared a few pieces of artwork we've gotten from the prison ministry. Many people are not aware of the prison ministry that SFA has had for, well, over 30 years. And so we give a little explanation of the founding of that and our thoughts on it and shared a couple pieces of things that prisoners had sent back. So hope you enjoy those. Had a few from the mailbag, some interesting there. And we put together also just a little a reminder, and we titled it A Help for Prayer. And, you know, prayer is, we started out the article, often needed but seldom truly used. And we should pray more. It's as simple as that. We should. And so we listed some, just a few of the CDs that Pastor Peters had done, some messages on prayer from Teach Us to Pray to Pray Psalms 83 and Perfecting Prayer, Prayer Crime, just a few of the titles. And Pastor would always say, you know, he didn't know about the messages, but he had some pretty snappy titles. I can remember him saying that, and we'd all laugh at it and say, nah, the titles are snappy and the messages are hard-hitting as well. But a couple other things. You know, we have a little pamphlet called, it's a little treatise that we always, when we were doing camps and traveling and whatnot and praying over people, we put this together, and we would ask that for anyone requesting prayer for healing, that they would first read this little short excerpt from the book Christ the Healer. And so we put it in a little few page pamphlet form, just as to get a taste of that book, because it's scriptural and it is a good lead in to and a good introduction to the power of prayer and the need for prayer and Christ the Healer. And so this little pamphlet, and then on the back, Pastor had a writing just a few paragraphs, but again, a short summary of that healing is our born again birthright. And he starts it out, faith healing requires faith, which is different than belief. And so we'd be glad to send it to you. It's the healing is our born again birthright pamphlet. And we've sent them out. We just got about 300 reprinted. I just got that done a couple weeks ago. And so we'd be glad to send you some. And then, of course, the book, Christ the Healer. Excellent book by Bosworth. And then the small book, The Kneeling Christian, by an unknown author. And so, again, just, we're all at different levels. We're all moving at different speeds, hopefully all of the same spirit. In loving God with our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And so we are to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And so we put this together, a few scripture verses here as well, to help you in your walk to gain maybe a better understanding of prayer, to become more comfortable with it, to become more experienced with it. That comes with time. It comes with adversity. I think perilous times that we're in and the adversities that we face, the perils and the trials and the tribulations, they should drive us to prayer and bring us closer to God. Maybe we've had that in the past and they haven't. Well, they can today. And so it's not too late to turn back to God, to go to Him in prayer and let Him know. Let Him know what you're thinking. Let Him know what you're feeling. Well, I'm going to play a quick song. Be back right after this. And again, phone lines are open, folks. 307-745-5913. Be right back.
Well, now, since I turned old Satan down, I know for sure I'm heaven bound. There ain't nothing he can do to stop me. Since he showed me heaven's light, I know for sure I'm headed right. Satan's got to get along without me. Well, now Satan's got to get along without me. 'Cause I've been saved from sin forevermore. Satan's got to get along without me. 'Cause I'm going to heaven with my Lord. In his grasp, but that was a long, long time ago. Since I've broke the chain of sin, I know for sure that he can't win. I'm going to heaven with my Lord. Well, now Satan's got to get along without me, 'cause I've been saved from sin forevermore. Satan's got to get along.
Amen. Amen. Well, I was hoping I'd have time tonight. I do want a couple of scriptures on the subject of, with everything going on, what do we do? What do we do? In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 6, and these letters, Ephesians and Galatians and Paul's letters to Timothy and stuff, they are for us today. Romans and Hebrews, and I mean all of it, but it is as more pertinent today, it seems like, than it's ever been. And so Ephesians 5, verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. You know, we talked about this a couple Sunday mornings ago, the deceit, the empty words. Oh, green energy is better for the environment. Green energy is going to save the world. Electric vehicles, and on and on and on. And it's just lies. It's just lies. And so the scripture tells us, let no one deceive you with empty words. And it's not just in the physical, but it's empty words, thinking that it's scriptural. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That is a deception burped up from the pits of hell that keeps people from the righteousness of Christ. Every time I see that on social media or from an email from somebody or whatever, I ask them, can you show me what scripture backs that up? Because I see where we're told to repent. I can give you scriptures on that. And we're to be baptized. I can give you scriptures on that. And we are to obey. I can give you scriptures on that. Ephesians 5, 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. So if it's the wrath of God that comes on those that are disobedient, what comes on those that are obedient? Would it be the wrath of God or maybe the blessings of God? You read the word and figure it out. And read all of five, right? It's called be imitators of God. Don't be disobedient, because if you are disobedient, the wrath of God will come upon you. That's what it says. That's not even the verse I wanted. It's verse 7. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly, and that's what Stephen just sang about, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Expose them. Do not partake. Do not be deceived. On that day of judgment, it's just going to be me and God. And all I've got is the blood of Christ and His righteousness to save me. And you know, my preacher, that Brother Matthews that I grew up with, he ain't going to be there. Pastor Peters isn't going to be standing there, not at that point in time. It's just me and God. And that's how it is with each and every one of us. And the wrath of God, it says, is poured out on the sons of disobedience. So believe the word. Don't believe me over what your preacher's telling you. Believe the word. Go to the word and read the word. All of it. Don't just read a couple verses. He who believes shall be saved. I get people that tell me that. He who believes shall be saved. And I say, well, in James it says the demons believe. Will they be saved? And it gets real quiet. So believe all the word. All of the word. But do not be partakers. Do not be partakers. In 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Okay? See, that talks about don't partake with the demons, with the world. Be ye separate is what it alludes to. Let me back up a little bit more, and I'm kind of going backwards. We're going to jump to Revelation here in a minute, but Matthew 6. Matthew 6. This is, of course, Jesus speaking here. And in verse 21, well, I'll start with 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And do you wonder, Remnant, why heart disease is the number one killer of Americans today and has been for the last 50, 60, 70 years? Take a look at the scripture. I'm not making it up. Take a look at it. Matthew 6. Let's keep reading. 22, verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" So you see the contrast? The contrast between earthly things and spiritual things, and light and darkness. And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, God and mammon, God and man, we see in different translations in different places. Can't do them both. Oh, we can be in the world, but not of the world. And even in the world, we have to make that distinction that we are going to serve God, that we are going to not do these things, that we are going to, again, as Ephesians 5 summarizes, be imitators of God. We're not going to let anyone deceive us with empty words. And we're going to do our best to expose that darkness. And that's for each and every one of us. That's not just for a ministry. That's not just for a pastor or someone like me that works here at the ministry. No, that's for each and every one of us. It is. Over in Revelations 18 talks about Babylon is fallen, right? Verse 2 says, "The angel cried out with a mighty voice, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird.'" And you know, it's a shame that describes America today. Much of America, no, not all of it yet, not all of it. There must still be 10 righteous somewhere, because God hasn't destroyed us like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's getting that bad, isn't it? Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, a dwelling place of demons. And if you can't see demons all about us, read about them, raping and killing and murdering and pillaging, Hollywood idols just coming out and saying, "Yeah, we sold our soul to the devil. Yeah, we did that." A dwelling place of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit. The ground is iron. This describes this land today. A prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Do you not see the unclean all about us? The hatefulness, the hateful bird, the hate. Sometimes disguised as love, but the hate that is all about us. Verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." Oh, there's money in it. There's money in sin. There's money in sensuality and immorality. there's money and wealth, but you know it. It's just for here. It rusts, and thieves steal it, and moths eat it away. And so that's the description of today. Of today. And so what do we do? Here's verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now, you know, he doesn't say come out of her, mankind. Come out of her, all of humanity. Come out of her, all who believe. It doesn't say any of that stuff. And you would think it would, to hear the humanity and all of the brotherhood of man being preached and pushed. And but that's not what the Word says. I'm going to go with the Word. Come out of her, my people. You know, Jesus said, prove to be my disciples by doing what I tell you to do. He said, you prove to be my friends, you prove that you love me when you do what I tell you to do, when you keep my commandments, when you are a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. Verse 7, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. And so you read on, and the kings, oh, they weep and lament, and the merchants, oh, they weep and mourn, and they stand at a distance because things change. And I think we're seeing that change in world events today. We're seeing this nation that was once a Christian nation, it ain't anymore. And we're seeing this nation that was once blessed. Well, it's not blessed anymore. We're seeing it being cursed, invaded, plagues, sickness, massive inflation. You know, I'm going to vote for Trump, but Trump ain't going to save us. It is only repentance and returning to God. That is because we have turned away from him. That is why we are in the mess we are today. And it is only turning back to Jesus Christ, not Allah, not God, not just the Creator, but to Jesus Christ, his word, his will, his way, that this nation will be saved. And if the nation won't do it, the nation won't be saved. It's just as simple as that. And those antichrists over there in Gaza that are killing each other, the Israelis and the Palestinians, yeah, they're all going to hell. They are antichrist as antichrist come, both sides of them. Let them wipe each other out. They live by the sword, they die by the sword. So says the word. There's no forgiveness in them. There's no repentance. They're not going to turn to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing." It is. It is. And to most people, you try to talk to them, right? You try to mention something about Jesus or the Bible or the laws, and they're just legalist. Oh, you're a legalist, aren't you? See, it's foolishness to them. Guess what? They're perishing. They're the ones that are going to be knocking. Let us in. Hey, we're back. Let us in. And they're going to hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the rest of 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We want more to be saved, certainly. We want more eyes to be opened. We want more truth to be known. I pray for that every day. I hope that you are as well, Remnant. I hope that you are as well. Well, guys, that's all the voice I got tonight. I've drank 2 bottles of water, and I got nothing else. I thank you for joining in, for tuning in, for listening. These messages are archived at the website, scriptureforamerica.org. They'll replay, I think, tomorrow or Saturday on the broadcast. The schedule's there at sfawbn.com. I want to encourage you to join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll be here live at the Radio Ranch. We'll have the phone lines open, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say. And so we ask you to join us Saturday morning for coffee and scriptures and fellowship and a godly time in praise and enjoying time with like-minded Christians. That'll be at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast, right at scripturesforamerica.org. Well, Remnant, God bless. Know that we pray for you. If you have a prayer request, by all means, let us know. We'd be glad we would be honored to lift it up to our God, our Heavenly Father. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.
Our King will be waiting at the end of our